This is Glambition Radio, episode number 19, with Life Purpose Guide, Beth Davis. Welcome to Glambition Radio. I am your host, Allie Brown. Women are rewriting the rules for leadership, business success, making money, and changing the world. Each week, join me for powerful messages and interviews that will leave you inspired and ready to get your Glambition on. Now, let's go. In 2005, I decided to host my very first workshop. Back then, I was known as the e-zine queen. I had a specialty of teaching people how to publish e-zines or email newsletters that got them business, and had been developing this online following and selling my e-books and courses, and finally came to the realization that people would enjoy a 2 or 3 day workshop where I would walk them through everything that I had learned to build a business online and make money. So I wrote the sales copy and I put up a web page and decided what I was going to sell this for and all that. And the very first seat I sold was to a woman named Beth Davis. And I remember this because it was a Friday night. You know, I had nothing better to do at the time except do this stuff on Friday nights. And I put the email out announcing this workshop with a link to the page where people could go learn more and sign up. And I remember hitting that send button and my heart was pounding, thinking, well, you know, if no one signs up, then I don't have to do this. But if someone signs up, like, I've got to do this. And within probably an hour, I saw registration come through and I screamed. I was terrified. I didn't know how to do a workshop. I'd never done this before. But that was Beth who bought my first ticket. And she was there in the audience. I had 28 people. And I remember just praying that no one would ask for a refund and everyone would like what I had to offer. And Beth stood up and said some amazing things during the 2 days, like really profound stuff. I was just remember thinking in the back of my mind, like, this chick is really smart and she seems super cool, but she's a palm reader. I mean, that's basically what I understood her to be. And man, was I wrong. Because this gal, and you're going to learn a lot more about what she does on this interview today, she helps people really figure out what their life purpose is. And she helped me figure it out as well, because I was at a point over the next few years after that I got so immersed in the internet marketing scene and was like, finally, like, I am so sick of all this stuff. Like, I am so sick of teaching online marketing and everyone else is copying what I do anyway. And, you know, what am I really here to do? And she offered me a session when we were at a conference together in DC in 2007. And I said, you know what, let's do this now. She came up to my suite and we got room service and a glass of wine, and she did a reading for me. And I bawled my eyes out because she just nailed it. She nailed the things that I kind of thought that I was here supposed to do, but I was too scared to admit that I wanted to do them. She helped nail my blind spots and things that have always troubled me throughout my entire life and bring me anxiety and help me see the things that I need to be careful of so I don't fall into those traps. Just so many things. And I was so blown away that from then on, you know, I promoted her pretty much to every client and coaching program I have had, because her work is that powerful. But what I love about Beth even more is she has become one of my best friends in the world because of her authenticity, her vulnerability, that she always just puts it out there. And we've been through a lot together. I mean, you know, sharing with each other all the stuff that happens in our relationships and things blowing up. And, you know, we are the one that each other will call, be like, hey, I just, you know, I need some advice here. I don't know what to do with this situation or this person or this guy or, you know, whatever. And she's one of those soul sisters that I wish for every one of you listening that you end up having in your life, because we could be like the golden girls when we're older. Beth Davis is creator of yourpurpose.com, which is a website you should visit. It's devoted to helping you, spirit-rich entrepreneurs especially, unleash your life purpose and get paid for your passions so you can be the change you want to see in the world. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Beth Davis. Beth, welcome to Glambition Radio.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Where are you today? Are you on the water at your place?
I am on the water in Marina Del Rey, California. It's a beautiful sunny Saturday.
Where I used to live. I used to be able to walk over and see you.
I know, sometimes you'd text me as you were walking by my window and I'd walk over and you'd wave up.
Or sometimes we'd be walking the same time and we'd
That's right.
to run into each other.
That's right. And sometimes we'd like actually get our schedules to coordinate. We'd walk together. So it's good.
I think that's what I missed most about the city. You know, there's a lot of things I felt complete with and ready to move on, but I do miss just kind of walking around the corner and seeing you. And
Thank you.
Let's start, you know, I already told everybody a bit about you. Why don't we go back to, I love starting at the beginning. I mean, because you have quite a story to tell and it's an incredible part of the power that has become who Beth Davis is today.
Oh, thank you. So my current work really is the result of my own personal search for meaning in my life. In my late 20s, I had been in direct sales and marketing. So I actually was going to networking meetings and learning about how to make cold calls and make them without sounding salesy, which I actually learned how to do. And I got very good at getting to the office early, really early, like 6:30 or 7 a.m., and getting on the phone. And I could reach the decision makers, high-level management or CEOs of companies for these different projects that were related to the company I worked at. So I had this background in sales and marketing. I'm an outgoing person. And yet I was feeling very stuck and depressed. And I had strange physical ailments that when I had gone to the doctor and had various tests done, they said, you know, your immune system isn't responding properly. And your white blood cell count is way off the charts, but there's nothing that we can diagnose you with. And I thought, this isn't good. And so around that time, I was working with a spiritual teacher, and I talked with her about it. And she said, "She said it feels like you're going to die. Like you're just on this edge of just kind of drifting away."
Really?
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I said, well, what can I do about it? I was kind of concerned. I said, yeah, I kind of get what you mean that I feel like I was in and out, kind of in and out of my body, feeling grounded in this, on this earth, and bored in my work, even though it paid well and there was a lot of variety. I mean, as jobs go, it was a pretty good job, but something wasn't sitting right. And she said, you know, you're in a kind of spiritual crisis, and it would be really helpful for you to recognize that you're a teacher. And I said, huh? I did not know what she was talking about. And about that same time, my friends were all rallying, like, gee, Beth's not her usual bubbly self. Something's really the matter. And one of these friends, Pammy, kept bugging me to get a palm reading, which, you know, went over like a lead balloon with me. I was like, really? Really? Is that going to, you know, I was so facetious about it. Is that going to solve all my problems?
You know? And she said, of like, you know, Madame Cleo with the blinking light, you know, on.
Right, right, 1-900 number. Yeah, exactly. Right. And a turban on the head. And I said, really? No. And she did, but she was so persistent. She was so lit up about it. I think it'll help you. I think it'll help you. So I finally submitted just to get her off my back. And this knock came on my apartment door. And it was this cute little woman named Terry Lynn. And before she even stepped over the threshold, she said, show me your hands. And I was like, okay. And I held out my hands to her and she was looking at them and her brow was a little creased. And I thought, oh, she's going to tell me I got 3 years, you know, and I'm toast. And she's looking at my hands and she looks up at me and looks back at my hands. And she does this thing back and forth a few times. And I'm thinking, what? And finally she says, Beth, you're not living the life you're meant to live. You're not living your life's purpose. And I thought, life's purpose. What an interesting phrase. Because it's very popular now, life's purpose. But back then, you know, we're talking 15 years ago, it wasn't that popular phrase. And I was really struck dumb. Like I was mute. I did not know what to say to her because in between all the doctor's appointments and my spiritual teacher getting on my case about it and me like really not liking my job, I had actually made a prayer. one night out of desperation. I kneeled down by my bed. I was feeling just so despondent. And and I had the dream boards up and I was chanting and I was writing in my journal everything I was grateful for. And it really wasn't helping. When nothing's helping, it's, and I think many of us have been at that point, at least at one time in our life where, you know, all the good advice and all the good thoughts weren't really shifting the tide. So I kneeled down by my bed and I made this prayer and I said, God, universe, infinite consciousness, you know, basically anything out there, if you're listening, if you will show me my life's purpose, I will be your humble servant. I'll go where you ask me to go. I'll do what you ask me to do. I will surrender to this process called life. I really need some help. And so 2 weeks later, after Pammy's hammering on me about getting this palm reading, I finally did. Now, the first turning point was making the prayer, right? And then having it answered. So one thing I've learned from the law of attraction is really truly what we put out is what we get back. Like angry people tend to get a lot of animosity towards them, right? And friendly, warm, generous people, seem to have people treat them the same way. I mean, when it's so obvious that, you know, that people forget how simple it is, that really what we give is what we get back. So the idea in the law of attraction is you ask and it is given. You ask and it is given. It's in the Bible, right? Ask and it is given. Mm-hmm. And every prayer is answered. And for me, that was such a demonstration of how every prayer is answered.
And often it's not in the way that you would expect.
No.
And I think that's where a lot of people don't get that connection. You know, though I've set this intention or I've asked for this and you know, that didn't come. I said, no, but what did come?
Right.
What was presented to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And sometimes what's presented to you is something you have to go through to get what you wanted that you don't want to go through.
That's
that's
right.
The part we don't like, isn't it?
Right. Well, we resist
like that part.
We resist the things we don't like. In just a second, I want to share what happened in the hand reading, but I want to just preface what's happening right now kind of cosmically and in the world is we're obviously in this time of major, major global transition. You have huge numbers of people living in poverty, and you have many, many people who are stepping out of poverty, right? And there's this huge awakening happening. And this is very interesting and kind of out there. My neighbor is a famous astrologer, and she's a very successful businesswoman, very down to earth, and her astrology is very pragmatic, like watch out for this and you better be thinking about this and you know your basic personality is this, and it's not predictive, it's very helpful. So I want to share this if you're, you know, you're listening at home, because you know, as women we love to connect through connection and communication, right, and verbal connection. And so when I'm with my neighbor, just like when you and I talk, Allie, it's just very alive and there's lots of ideas flowing. And, you know, so I'm sitting with her. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, what's happening? And she said, well, you know, if we talk astrologically, you know, there's this big shift happening. But what she described is something that I feel is happening in the consciousness of human beings. And what she said was, she says, this is a big shakeup time where basically all the old patterns in your life that have caused you pain and suffering are coming up to be reexamined. And it's like a global purge and cleanse of our old beliefs. And the idea is that we can no longer be a victim and project our issues onto other people, right? Blame the other person for causing these problems. It's this huge opportunity to really like look at where we've come from, look at the decisions we've made, like you were saying, look at what we've decided to do and change patterns permanently so they can shift. And these things happen cyclically, actually, among huge groups of people and in nature, right? There's the season. So there's these cycles happening. So back to when I had my hands reading, I was personally going through one of those purge cleanse periods that really brought me to my knees. And that is the hallmark of the spiritual crisis. And the spiritual crisis of meaning is when you're having a crisis of meaning. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Does it have a purpose? am I contributing anything? Am I making a difference for my children, for my community? Am I a good wife? Am I a good friend? You know, all the different roles that we play. And often when we're in that spiritual crisis of meaning, everything feels like it's just crap. You know, like, I didn't do this well, and I'm not good at this, and I can't show up 100% for this. And women especially are really collectively feel like they have to be super women, right? And live up to these huge expectations. So I was going through that huge crisis at that time. And so when I got the hand reading, the woman, Terry Lynn, she looked at my hands and she said to me, she said, "You are here to be a speaker and an author and share spiritual wisdom with millions of people." And I just looked at her like, "Really, lady?" Like, I'm like, "Right. And how am I going to do that?" She's like, "I don't know how you're going to do it. It's just what you're here to do." And she said, "You know, you might actually want to learn hand analysis because it's a wonderful way to help people find meaning." Well, I still thought she was a little kooky telling me this stuff. However, my whole body lit up, right? I had tears of relief streaming down my face, and the hair on my arms was standing up. And I remember sitting really straight in my chair and thinking to myself, this is the best news I've heard in my whole life.
Why was that appealing to you? Because how could you go from being in a job to someone telling you, okay, you're going to be an author and a speaker and this leader? I mean, secretly, is that something you knew you would love? Or what was it about that? That would scare a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, well, it scared me. It scared me. And that's a great question. Well, you know, what happened was it was almost like watching dominoes fall. You know, when they have those big domino competitions and they fill an entire amphitheater with some design and then they hit the domino and the whole thing falls down. That was what the image was in my mind of every moment in my life leading to that moment. And as I retraced my steps, I had been in theater since probably the fourth grade. I was a theater major in college, and I had given up acting because I knew there was something in acting that wasn't quite it. I knew I was supposed to be in front of people. However, as an actor, I had to learn the lines of other characters. And I remember thinking, I'm not really interested in speaking other people's lines. I want to find my own voice. And that's why I gave up acting. That was the exact reason. I remember pulling my car over to the side of Sepulveda Boulevard when I was 25 years old and just having a good cry because I knew I was going to quit acting and I just had to grieve it. And I thought, I've got to find my own voice. So when she said it, it was this sense of, okay, so all that acting training won't go to waste. I don't have stage fright, thank God. I did, but you know, all those years of training, it just went away. And maybe there's an opportunity here to find a way to support the people in my life to really shine. Because for me, the biggest high I get, and I've always been this way. I remember even as a little kid, I loved helping my friends with their projects and reminding them of their talents. And, you know, I was always the cheerleader for people's success and the one encouraging someone to try something new and to believe in themselves. So it made sense to me from that standpoint. And it was utterly terrifying because here I was working in a desk job. You know, I mean, after taxes, I don't know what I was bringing home, $1,500 a month. I could make my car payment,
right,
my apartment, a few groceries, my insurance for health and my car, and I could go out to dinner a few times into the theater, and I would save up money to like take a workshop or take a trip. So, you know, I had a very sort of a simple, narrow lifestyle. And it was hard for me to imagine how is this young woman who's living in her apartment and paying her bills going to become some kind of inspirational speaker. It was such a huge thing. But one thing she did say that I grabbed onto and that is right in line with what you do and why so many of your listeners tune in is she said to me, she said, "You're also a really good businesswoman." Now, I'd never heard that in my whole life. Ever. No one had ever said to me, "Oh, you're good at business." Right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, how would they know? Right? I never had a business. I said, "What?" She said, "Well, it's in your hands. You really are good with like profit and loss statements and reading contracts. And you're really good at making money." And I said, "Really? What? This makes no
you're
sense."
Like, well, I can add up my receipts from Trader Joe's, but that's about it. Like,
Exactly. Yeah. I thought, what is going on? So anyway, yeah, so I was getting all this information. She said, you're a speaker and an author. You're super, super intuitive and psychic, which I knew. That I knew. My whole life I could read people. I mean, people don't like being around me if they're hiding something because I see it. And if someone's open and trustworthy, they have nothing to worry about. But if they're hiding something, you know, I see what it is and I usually know what it is. And I could always tell if people were unwell. And I mean, total strangers. I'd be like, oh, his wife's sick. I would know this. Someone would walk by me on the street and I'd think, oh, he's going to die. You know, crazy stuff. And so I knew I had this ability where I could read people's energy. So it was just this huge confirmation. And she said to me, well, why don't you just study with me? So casually, when she would come to LA like once a month, this is back in the late 90s. I would meet her at the Rose Cafe in Venice.
Right.
And I would get a coffee and a scone, and she'd whip out her books. And I have lots of lines in my hands. Now, not everybody has lots of lines, but I have a lot of lines. I wanted to know what they all were. So I'd be like, what's this? And what's this? And what's this mean? And eventually, I had been referring so many people to her. She said, would you be my manager? And I thought, oh, this is a good way to experiment with business. I said, okay. So I started promoting her with great success. And she allowed me to sit in on hand readings with her clients. The clients would sign off and give permission for me to be a silent observer. And I got to watch this process where she would just look basically at the map at their hands and say to the person, look, here are your skill sets. Here are your blind spots. Here are some things to think about. Here are some ways you could nurture yourself. Like the whole reading was so empowering. There was nothing about it where you're giving your power away to the guru or the genie or the psychic to predict your future, right? How many kids am I going to have and who am I going to marry? Because you and I both know it's never accurate.
And right? They always say you're going to meet a man in a red car. I don't know why that always happens.
Did you
in college yeah. In Boston, we would go to, it was this lady in Kenmore Square, and I think it was Miss Angela, and we'd all go in there after like a pitcher of beers, you know, and it was always something about, you know, she'd be like, do you know a man with a red car? And I'd be thinking, I'm like, no, because I'm thinking, you know, we're all broke. None of my friends have cars. And she's like, well, you're going to meet a man in a red car.
Exactly. Just like just
we're
never
not talking about that. So I'm glad you explained that, because when I first met you, I'm like, oh boy, you know, the palm readers here, like, woo. And you explained there's actually, this has been scientifically verified, that the lines in your hands are a map to your brain.
Yeah, they are a map. So basically how it works is this. An incredible man named Richard Unger, back in the late 80s, was studying at a medical laboratory in Texas, and he'd been interested in palmistry for many, many years. And he was studying the prints on our fingertips and on the soles of our feet. And he started going through medical journals, and he realized, oh my goodness, there's four patterns of prints. There's only four types that humans have, patterns. Mm. And they're geometric shapes that occur all through nature. Zebra stripes, right? If the if you cut down a tree, the center, the rings of the oak tree, these prints are throughout nature. And there's only four types. And each of the four types links up to one of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And it was like his 10 years of study downloaded into this fingerprint system. So he really was the person. I mean, my hope is that as a hand analyst and a business mentor, that in my lifetime, I can assist him, really. That's like my gratitude to him, because this work changed my life, to spread the message of what these fingerprints tell us throughout the world. Because when he downloaded the system, it's the only complete fingerprint system in all of palmistry. And what's amazing about what he discovered is this: your fingerprints form in utero between the 14th and 16th week and don't change. Now it gets even wilder. Identical twins have different fingerprints.
Yes. Which, and I've read about this because I was fascinated. My twins are fraternal, but I started to get curious about that. I'm like, what if I had identical twins? And what about their fingerprints? And of course, you know, the scientists are trying to come up with explanations, but I'm like, I know why. Because it's the blueprint to their soul.
Exactly, Allie. It's the blueprint to their soul. Now, the Navajos believed that at that time, there's a certain point where the soul enters the body, and it's about week 14. And this has actually been shown There's a Brian Weiss, who's a medical doctor, right, who studies past lives. And I don't even know what I think about past lives, but he did a study of like 10,000 people. They hypnotized them and regressed them. And all of these people had memories, right? And every one of them said that the soul chose to come into the body at week 14. And what's fascinating to me is the Navajos believe that Great Spirit breathes his breath into you. And the tracks of that breath are your fingerprints, which I just think is so beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. So fingerprints really are a combination of the conditions in the womb, you know, whether the mother's happy, healthy or not, genetic factors, because often there will be similarities in the what they call the dermatoglyphic pattern. And then there's this mysterious X factor. So the fingerprints don't change. And then the lines in the hand are actually like a neural pathways of the major neural pathways in your brain. They're a map of the major neural pathways. So your brain's very plastic. So for example, it's 21 days. We all know this, 21 days to form a new habit and 3 days to break it. So in that 21 days, let's say you give up coffee or you quit smoking or start working out, whatever the new habit is. In 21 days, what happens is the brain forms new narrow pathways and it dissolves other pathways, right? Which is why someone who's a drug addict has a very hard time quitting, because those pathways are so deeply enmeshed in the brain structure. And actually addiction shows up in the hands. I can actually look at someone's hand and go, oh, what's your addiction? And they tell me their story, you know, it's right there. So the hands are a map of the brain. The shape of your hand, well, obviously, the shape of the hand would indicate how the hand is used. So if you look at, say, your hands versus the hands of a lumberjack, they're going to be built quite differently, right? And I've seen your hands, and your hands are very strong. You have the kind of hands, and you also have a very strong lifeline. So you have the hands of someone who could be a great personal trainer, amazing leader. You know, there's great strength in you, but not necessarily would you be using those hands to, say, build a house by hand, mm-hmm. but you would be using your hands to build structures and systems that support people, right? And the lumberjack is, you know, he's cutting down a tree and the builder's building a house. So the shape of the hand will dictate how it gets used. Like a pianist usually has very long fingers and they have rhythm. That shows up in the hands. So anyway, I learned this, you know, process and system all those years ago, and decided that I was going to take it on 100%. I was going to commit fully to what the personal design, the blueprint in my hand said, because the other way I'd been living really wasn't working. I wasn't having soul satisfaction. I was in a lot of resistance to my experience, which is problematic. And I decided to take it on. And so what I did...
I'm going to jump in. There's something you said when I've heard you speak on this before. And I want to say this to everyone listening, because this will change your life. You said, I decided to believe it.
Yes.
And those words, I want you all to think about those words listening right now, that she decided to believe it. She was told her life purpose, and it was monumental and amazing and would help millions of people around the world. And she could have laughed, or she decided to believe it. And that was what changed everything for you.
Changed everything, everything, everything. Because one of the things I've learned in working now with thousands of people all over the world, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I don't think I'm quite at a million yet, but I definitely have a reach to several hundred thousand people. And it's quite thrilling and quite stunning that this is happening, and that hand analysis is being used by coaches and business mentors. In fact, some of my students who have trained with me are now going, check this out. This just gets me so excited. A couple of them are MBAs, right? And they worked corporate. They are now going, they left the corporate world. They started their own businesses. They learned hand analysis with me. And now they're going back into the corporate world, and they're setting up systems with human resource departments to help the CEOs and the hiring teams bring people in so they're in the right role for their skill set. Mm-hmm. Using hand analysis. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And a lot of major doctors use this system because it's so accurate. In fact, Frank Wilson, who is a neuroscientist at UC Davis, he wrote a book called The Hand, and he actually created some courses for his students with Richard Unger with this hand analysis system, and he is a huge proponent of it in helping people use their blueprint. And this is a neuroscientist, right? Using their blueprint for good. So yeah, it's so powerful when we see who we are, and then we make the decision. Now, right, I was a skeptic because I was a science math girl in school. I was a really good student. You know, I did AP physics and AP chemistry, all that stuff. Went to a really good college, was a really good student. Now, not everybody's a good student, but I, you know, I got that from my mom and my dad.
They both are good
students.
I know that about
you. And I do. Yeah. I love to read. So school was always easy because it wasn't, even if the material was boring, I'd find some way to make it interesting. So I happened to have that ability to learn in that way. But at any rate, my point is that the blueprint is unique to each of us. And making the decision, like you said, is so critical. So as this math science girl, I had been skeptical, really skeptical about all this stuff, right? I told Pammy, like, no, 8 times. I said, will you please quit with the hand reading? You're not going to get a freaking palm reading. Like, go away. She said, I'm really concerned about you. It's going to be really life-changing. So finally, I thought, I just want her to shut up. So, okay, I'll do it.
You're like, I'm ready to kill myself anyway.
You know, yeah, so, right. I'm gonna, you know, so what difference? Anything could help.
Why don't I get a palm reading on the way out?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I may find out I was wrong all along. And I was wrong. I was proven wrong. So I thought, this is the best thing I've heard my whole life. I feel more seen, more recognized, more validated. I have total permission. And the worst that could happen ever is I could die. Right. I asked my clients, like, what's the worst that could happen to you if you went for what you wanted? Well, I could die. I said, well, you're going to die anyways. And when you get to your deathbed, hopefully at an old age, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to have the typical regrets. I wish I'd played more. I wish I'd spent more time with my family and friends. And gosh golly, I wish I'd done those risk-taking things. I wish I'd learned public speaking. I wished I'd written the book. I wished I'd traveled to Antarctica. I wish I did the things I wanted to do. And so when I just really got that like other people's opinions of me, which, you know, you know, as a visible public figure, everybody's got an opinion. People's opinions of me are about them, not about me, right? Not about me. Just as my opinions about someone aren't about them, they're about me and my filter. So once I got really clear that nothing's personal and the worst I could do is fail, I mean, that's the worst that could happen is, and you know, you and I, like, oh, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, we've had these business ideas that just are complete fallen souffles, and we just sort of neatly throw them in the trash and move on.
And when you ask most people, when you really dig down, you know, when they're about to take a leap, what is it that's scaring them to death? It's not actually what will happen if it doesn't work. It's what other people will think of them.
Yes. Always that. Because here's the thing, you know, I had lunch today with my friend who's a 5-time cancer survivor. She has scars all over her body. And she's 50 years old now. She's had cancer 5 times. She's had one of the most amazing lives and one of them, she was married to a rock star. I mean, she's had and she's just an amazing, amazing person. And we had lunch today. And, you know, she was sharing about all that she had been through and all the scars she was carrying. And she is just so committed to living her purpose, right? And forging ahead despite all that she's been through. Now, what was the thing you were just saying? I had a point here, but I got so excited. I went off
yeah.
the tangent.
When you do, and I've done this in my mind too, you know, because I've taken some big leaps. And I mean, many people listening know my story, but like, and huge financial leaps, but most of us listening right now, okay, I'd say 99% of you, if something happened and you did fall on your ass and you went broke or something, you know, you lost your house or let's go, you know,
right.
something horrible, you would find someone to probably, you know, you'd be able to sleep on their couch. You'd probably find a roof over your head. Would you be homeless? I don't think so. I mean, really,
right.
I'm doing this a very quick example, but if you go through really writing down like all the stuff you are really scared of and what would really happen, it comes down to really more of being scared of what it would look like to other people. And I will share that I still go through this myself. Like when I'm ready to take a big leap, or some big opportunity comes, you know, and you start weighing it And you're like, okay, first of all, you have to work through your own emotional stuff, right, and just mm-hmm. having the courage to do it and dealing with your own issues. But the level beyond that is often when you dig deep enough, you realize what other people expect of you or what they think you should do or shouldn't do, or they're going to think you're crazy or that you're stupid or that your idea didn't work or
right.
la, 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 la. It's, you know, all this stuff's in our brain just all the time, conscious or unconscious.
Right. And that was that that was the point about my friend. She said, because I had gone through cancer too, nothing like she had. And I really followed my instinct about my treatment. And I'm cancer free and I didn't do chemo. Like, I made some really bold choices. And she said to me, she said, it's so interesting that, you know, the way you set up your life, you didn't have a lot of people whispering in your ear, invalidating your decision. And she said, Beth, the biggest challenge for people in forging ahead is what the people closest to them say about their choices. Mm-hmm. And they, just like you said, they shoot it down and they give up. And for me, I moved far away from my family. I love them. I was just talking to my sister today and she lives 3,000 miles away and I love my sister. I had to move away from my family. And I was, you know, I just was, I needed to do what I needed to do. So I didn't have those people whispering in my ear. And once I got strong enough in myself, now people can tell me whatever they want. And I'm like, well, thank you for sharing. And often people have good advice. They have good points of view. And I'm strong enough in myself now to weigh it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, though, you're absolutely right. That is one of the keys to success, is to make the decision and forge ahead and know that if you've trusted your gut and you've done your homework, very likely you've made a really, really good decision. And if it turns out you didn't, well, you get to do something different. You get to make a new decision.
It often turns you in the direction that you needed to get in, but you couldn't go there from where you were.
Right. Precisely. Precisely. Yeah. So being decisive is absolutely key. And one of the things about manifesting what we want in life is it's so important to always have the end in mind. So if I have an event coming up, I start with imagining the people leaving and what they're saying to me and each other. So I imagine the reception line, right? The people coming up to me and thanking me and hugging me and shaking my hand and saying, Beth, this experience was transformative for me. I want to have more of a spiritual practice in my life. I want to be more on purpose. I want my business to be an expression of my soul. Right? I want to be profitable in a way that nurtures me and allows me to be of service to others. Right? So I imagine this and I feel their energy and the room smells really good and the lighting is beautiful and the whole team is really nurturing and everybody's getting along and there's no backstage drama. Like, I visualize it. And then from there, it informs all the decisions to creating it. Right? And it's a huge risk. And I'll never forget when I did my first big event. It was like 42 people, right? And this was in 2007, right? So 7 years ago, for me, it was a big event. And I decided to do it at the Los Ventana Hotel in Tucson, Arizona, where I was living at the time. Beautiful hotel. And I remember getting the hotel contract, and I was basically on the hook for $30,000. And if I canceled at a certain, you know, at certain dates, I would lose more and more money. So I sat with myself. I was petrified. And I thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? I thought, well, the worst that could happen is no one would register and I would owe the hotel $30,000 and I'd probably have to set up a payment plan, right? Because integrity is everything in business. You have to pay everyone. So I thought, okay, well, you know, I owe them $30,000. Can I live with that? I'm like, well, I've owed more in my years as a business owner, right? And as you know, and you and I have, like, you know, as our businesses have grown, you know, I've gotten $100,000 loans and paid them back and $50,000 loans and paid them back. And I've used credit cards and, you know, whatever it took to grow my business. So I got used to dealing with larger and larger numbers. But at that time, I was petrified. So I wrote out a statement about the event of how it turned out, you know, kind of like I just described to you. And I stood in front of a window looking out at a beautiful view. And for about 2 hours, I read it out loud until my heart rate just started to calm down. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to cancel this. And then I went to my computer and 5 people had signed up. So I then had a total of 7 attendees. And as it turned out, I had 42 people come. The event cost me about $45,000 and I made like $120,000, right?
Yeah.
A gross profit. So that was like such a turning point. It's such evidence to me that We have to decide, and then we've got to commit. Because fear will come up and we'll want to back off. Even I have my moments every year where I waffle with stuff like, am I really going to do this? I really want to do this. Just the other day, I was sitting with my product development manager because we're planning a product launch for July. And I said, Kevin, I'm about 75% of the way there. And he said, Beth, we got to get you 100% of the way there. What's your 25%? Like, where are your misgivings? I said, well, you know, I want to be differentiated in the marketplace, and this is a very unusual kind of program, and it's either going to be a hard sell or an easy sell. I'm not really sure. And so he had me list out everything I was afraid of. And he said something to me that was so profound. He says, you know, you've been through a lot the past few years. You got divorced, which sucked. You've been divorced, you know, right? Even if it goes smoothly, it's just a disappointment. It's a heartbreak and a disappointment because you have your dreams of what you think you're creating and then it doesn't turn out that way. And then I had breast cancer, right? It was like the hits just kept coming. I was like the weeble that wobbled, but I kept bouncing. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I mean, that's the image I hold in my mind, right? Like I'm a weeble on the Pacific shore and these huge waves come in and knock me down and I just pop back up. I mean, I literally visualize that, like, oh, I pop back up.
And I like the weeble. When you think about the weeble, it doesn't struggle. It just pops back up.
Exactly.
I love this weeble thing. We need like a weeble with your face on it.
I mean, you're right. I should get, I should, that'd be a good.
Do they still make weebles?
They do. You know, there's that, I think it's the, one of those Oriental Trading Company makes all those novelty gifts you can put in like mailers and stuff. I should have one of those made. Anyway, so he said to me, he said, okay, so you need to get that 25%. He said, you know what, Beth? For the past couple of years, you've just been doing the best you could, right? You've been trying to run the business and handle your personal life, and you've been hanging on. Like hanging on by a fingernail, you've made it through. He said, you know what you haven't done though in these past few years because you didn't have the bandwidth? I said, what, Kevin? He said, you haven't taken a big risk. And he said, you started this business and for many years, all you did was take risks, like doing that event, right? I would just like take risks. And he said, and that's what always brings you alive is going to the edge of your comfort zone and taking a risk and not knowing if it's going to work or just having faith. And he said, I think you're due for a risk. And I think if you take this risk, it's going to turn everything around for you. Mm. And I went, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. Because what happened for me, and I think this, I don't, if, you know, happens for, I don't know if it happens for everyone. But what happened for me was my confidence took a blow. You know, I felt like a failure. And I started to question everything in my life. Like, well, maybe I'm really not that good at this. And maybe I kind of suck at that. And you know, why didn't my marriage work out, right? I was just so, so down on myself. And that confidence caused me to contract and just kind of do the things I knew to do. Like I thought, well, my clients and customers, I know they like this, so I'll offer this. And I have enough physical energy to teach this, so I'll do this. And what started to happen was, is all the things that I'd come to count on in, you know, probably my first 11 years of business, the things I knew that quote unquote worked stopped working. And so I said to my higher self, I said, okay, higher self, what the heck is going on here? You know, look, after all I've been through, could you cut me a break? And I literally heard my voice say to me, Beth, if everything flowed the way you wanted it to, and you hit all those financial goals you had set, there would be no reason for you to be more visible in the world. And you can't do your purpose the way you're designed unless you're visible. So we've had to shut down all these roads so you will get out there. And you know, you and I talked about this. I remember over dinner, you were like, Beth, get your message out. Since that awareness probably earlier this year, people are coming out of the woodwork saying, well, will you come speak at my event? You know, could I interview you for this? You know, can we talk about writing a book together? You know, I've had people approach me to buy my business. That's happened over the, you know, past 18 months. And I thought, okay, so that's what happens when things we've come to count on stop working, is we're actually being asked to up level, mm-hmm. to take a step up, right? You found this, haven't you? You're like, yeah. Oh, I'm sick of doing this.
When I am focused, you know, here's the trick is you don't realize you're getting sucked into it. But if when I'm focused, I realize I'm just solving problems and fixing what's wrong and going day to day is when stuff starts blowing up.
Yes.
Just blowing up. And like exactly like you said, the stuff that always works stops working. It's like God's way of going, hello, hello, yeah. Get back. Okay. Get back on your purpose, which I learned from you. And what do you really want to be doing right now?
Yes.
See, that pulls you out of everything. Because I'll tell you all, everybody, you can make more money, but this crap doesn't go away. And I want you all to know this right now. It is just more zeros and more stuff. And you're always dealing with, like, taxes, tax season. Ugh.
I have my tax bill right here. The IRS, $10,335.34. Please send in by April 21st. I'm like, okay. Thank you, IRS.
See, yep. And I see that. And I'm like, that's nothing. Look at my bill. Right?
And that's just one of them. That's only one of them.
It doesn't stop. So here's the thing, right? Just know that this is part cost of doing business. All this stuff comes with it. So you have to learn how to deal with these things and kind of separate it. And that's being the business owner. And yes, this comes with growing up and running a real business and making real money. From there on, though, when I get sucked too much down into that stuff, I lose my connection to the dream. And what you just said before was so powerful. And I want to make it clear because I just had this revelation this year too. You know, this year after I had the babies was very challenging to get back into my kind of alley groove. And my groove is different now. It will never be the same groove as it was before. It's powerful in a different way, but it's like I have less time. I have to be more strategic, like everything shifted. So I have been forced to go, okay, I cannot do things like I did a year ago, even. I cannot spend, 12 hours a day if I'm getting ready to launch something. I cannot do that. So why don't I just do what I really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that scares me because it's not what I did before. And what I'm about to do is probably not what people would expect. And that is what's been just really rattling me. But I got so excited about it because I realized, okay, why am I just focusing on fixing problems in my life and business right now? Get up out of the weeds and start looking at what you really want to do and then put your focus there because all that other stuff is just distracting you and it's pulling you down. Put your focus where it needs to be. And then you know what happens? Magically, that stuff kind of starts to clean up. You got to watch it. You got to watch your books and take care of yourself and be responsible and pay your bills. But if you focus on what you're really supposed to be doing, I promise you, listening right now, you're hearing this and you may just be in tears right now. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you're supposed to be doing, what you know you're supposed to be doing. And the universe, God, call it whatever you want, but you will be supported. You will be supported, but it still scares the crap out of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said. When you're focused on solving problems and fixing things, everything starts to blow up.
That's not where you're supposed to be.
No, you need to be looking at
gifts and what we've been given and what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right. You need to focus on your gifts and bring those gifts forth into the world. In fact, one of the fastest paths to prosperity is to share our gifts, because when we don't share our gifts, we're being greedy. We're hoarding. And we might be hoarding because we think we're better than other people and, then we don't want to cast our pearls before swine. And of course, the flip side of that is who would listen to me? I don't have anything to offer. But whatever direction you're coming from, it's this unhealthy holding back. And when we say, I'm going to share my gifts and focus on that, get the book out there, fill that coaching program, bring my gifts forth, everything works. It really does work. You're absolutely right about that. When we're focused on the desire and the dream, we're on purpose. And that's the thing in the fingerprints. The fingerprints, which don't change, reveal your specific life's purpose. So it might say businesswoman in the spotlight. It might say global mentor, successful healer, mom, dad, live your passions, right? Speaker, author. Some people have what's known as captain of the ship, and that's part of their purpose. And the captain of the ship is successful at leading a team. Their success is in managing community, managing groups. So the captain of the ship, she doesn't wash the bottles and scrub the decks and steam the uniforms. Right? She makes sure that the ship goes where it needs to go. She's looking at the horizon. She's avoiding the icebergs and the squalls and the other boats, right? She's focused on where she needs to go. And that's what the captain does. And this is actually a purpose, right? It's also the captain of the ship is masterful at success. So one of the keys to success is exactly what you're sharing here about the dream, is that's what's on the horizon. So one thing my chiropractor taught me that I think is so cool, she says, when I'm stepping into the unknown and I'm feeling all that fear, I step forward with my eyes closed and I stretch my arms out behind me and I just lean forward with my eyes closed and I just hang there for a bit. And with my eyes closed, I visualize my dream on the horizon moving towards me. So I started doing that. When I start to have anxiety or worry, I close my eyes and I just lean forward into the dream and I watch the dream racing towards me. And it's a much different way to deal with what could be perceived as stressful change versus freaking out. Right, which is in our culture, we have so disconnected from our bodies, partly because we just sit all the time. I mean, it's not like a big, you know, leap to figure out why this has happened. We're so in our heads, right? We get anxious and stressed out and just leaning forward into the dream. So, yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, we could do, you know, this should have been like a third. I'm going to have you back some point for part two. Because
okay,
there's so much more we need to talk about. But in the last 5 minutes or so, here's what I would love from you. If you could share, you know, your three tips right now for everything you've been through and all these women listening, and I know they're just enchanted with you right now. I'd love to hear your just three tips for success and going for your dreams and what you want. And then I'd love you to tell them about, you know, about what you offer and how you can help people find their life purpose and their gifts, because I know they're excited to hear about that too.
Okay. All right. So tip number one, I believe without your health, life is not really fun. And having gone through breast cancer, I learned that was an incredible education opportunity for me. So my first tip is if you want to stay well, women, this especially for women, stop being such a nice person because nice gets you nowhere. Instead, be ruthlessly authentic. Which isn't about blurting out the truth to people. Ruthlessly authentic means honor your feelings with your spouse, with your children, with your clients. Honor them and express them so they don't get lodged in your body. Which means if you feel someone's being unfair, you need to draw a boundary. If you're having trouble with an employee, you need to find a way to work it out fast or fire them. You've got to deal with reality. So reality is the greatest, greatest teacher, and nothing will keep you healthier than being in the truth. So if you've got an addiction, face it. If you're in an abusive relationship, fix it or get out of it. Whatever is up in your life that is not helping you, that is rubbing you the wrong way, it must be released. It either needs to be healed or released, preferably both. And that's my first tip, is be absolutely authentic and be in reality. So if you have debt, set up a plan to repay it. If you have dysfunctional relationships, heal them. If you have a big dream and you haven't gone for it, face it. If you don't like the body you see in the mirror, then get on a diet and hire a personal trainer and quit whining about it. Like, take charge of your life and face reality, because nothing will create more success than dealing with reality. That's the first tip. Just deal with it. Stop resisting it. Stop resisting reality.
The first step is awareness. Isn't that the first
step?
Yeah,
it is.
12-step program.
It is. You've got to really face what is, because if you resist what is, you lose all your biological and spiritual and emotional energy trying to push away the truth versus you don't, you know, people, a lot of new people in business will say, I don't like selling. I'm like, well, that's really a problem, because if you don't like selling, you're going to be broke really fast. So let's work on that belief system. And why don't you stop resisting it? Because the reality is you're in business so people can buy things from you. That's what business is. There's like, that's what it is, everyone. That's the nature of business. So reality. Tip two is please find out your life's purpose, whether from me or from someone else. Like, why are you here? Just get that question answered once and for all so you can stop tormenting yourself with it and worrying about it. And maybe for some of you, you've never even thought it. What is your purpose? Because once you know what your purpose is, your business can then be an expression of that purpose. So for me, my life purpose in my hands is innovative mentor spiritual teacher, and business owner. Innovative mentor, spiritual teacher, and business owner. So really what I've done in merging that is I want to teach people the connection between their core spiritual essence and their financial essence. Does your money flow from the deepest expression of you or not? Now, that's not for everyone, but for someone who really wants their money to come to them as a result of them being their true self in the world, that's where I can assist someone, right? So when you're on purpose, your business can be a reflection of that. And what's interesting, my whole business is set up where I teach people hand analysis. That's the spiritual teacher. I own a business. That's the business owner. And as the innovative mentor, I work with business owners who want to bring purpose into their business. So that obviously didn't happen overnight. However, it's been so supportive to me because even when I'm struggling or going through my life lesson, which is tip number three, I have a direction. So tip number three is to know what your blind spot is. And in hand analysis, the fingerprints not only reveal life purpose, they reveal life lesson. And life lesson is our blind spot. Mm-hmm. And it is, right? You and I have talked about this. It's the key to everything. In fact, I've interviewed other highly successful entrepreneurs. I asked you about it, and I've asked many, many other successful entrepreneurs. I've said, hey, if you were to tell me the number one thing you learned in our work together, the number one thing that benefited you in our work together, what is it? And every single person said, oh, hands down, the life lesson. Knowing what my blind spot is allows me to step back from any situation where I'm challenged and realize, oh, this is my blind spot. This is the place where I get caught. So a blind spot might be trust issues. It might be difficulty speaking up for yourself. Some people have self-worth issues. My life lesson is a mixture of power issues and heart relationship issues. So you can look at my life and you can see all the places Beth has fallen into the sinkhole have been around giving away my power in my intimate relationships. And of course, you know all about this. you've held my hand through
that's
it.
That's part two.
Yeah, that's part right.
I mean, call.
Happy to share, right? But knowing, really knowing that I've given my personal power away in my intimate relationships has helped me. It's one of the reasons I got divorced, right? It was a good decision. I was like, I'm losing power in this relationship. I'm giving my power away. I've got to make a change. So for me, that, even though I felt like I'd failed at the marriage, I succeeded in getting out of the sinkhole, right? Mm-hmm. So it isn't about what society thinks. It isn't really how it looks. It's about your own analysis of your own life, your own perception of your own progress. And so these three things, be in reality, know your purpose, and know your blind spot. It's like, it just makes everything so much easier because sometimes, you know, we have an easy month or an easy year and the money's flowing and everything's good. And then other times, you know, we come to the edge of our skill set and the universe gives us, it gives back to us where we've been blind. It says, oh, you know, you haven't been managing your taxes so well. So here's an opportunity to fix that. Or, gee, you know, you've been attracting a lot of clients that drain your energy and are negative and not supportive. You know, what is that reflecting in yourself? Where are you being negative and non-supportive of your own heart, of your own self? So those would be my three really deep spiritual tips for going for your dream and really fueling your success.
I love that. Oh my God, there's so much more I want to talk about too. But where can people go to learn more about you and the wonderful services and programs that you have?
Thank you. Well, if you go to yourpurpose.com, Y-O-U-R purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E.com. If you go to Your Purpose and you opt in, I have a three-part tutorial that is interactive. You can click with your mouse and things pop up. It's really fun. And it reveals different aspects of the fingerprint information, life purpose and life lesson and so forth. And they're really fun interactive videos. And if you go to yourpurpose.com/events, that events page lists our upcoming hand analysis training. So if anyone's fascinated by this, and they want to learn it, I will say that particularly for coaches and healers, having this tool in their toolbox, it not only adds an additional revenue stream that's pretty significant. As a coach, mentor, consultant, healer, you literally shave off months of being lined up with your client, because within 5 minutes, you know what their life purpose and life lesson is, among other things in the hands, their challenge markers, their gift markers, their relationship style, how they manage physical energy. I can look at someone's hands and tell you how exactly they do projects. Like some people just barrel through the whole project right to the end, right? Someone else, they get really good going and then they have to take a little break, and the break might be a couple weeks, and then they get back on track and finish the project. So there, all of that information is right in your design. So if someone's wanting to learn more, they certainly can. And I just would invite you, look at that page. It's just lists our trainings for hand analysis. And it's a great way just to get your toe in the water and explore the Your Purpose community, because we're dedicated to helping you identify and unleash your life purpose so that you can get paid for your passions. And as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. You have to become the change by becoming your most fulfilled self. So
thank you. Beth, you are my soul sister. I love you. And by the way, at the beginning of the show, I told the story on how we met. And I know that was just destiny as well. So it's so great to be in each other's lives and still follow this amazing journey that we have together. And being aware of our purposes. Is that a word? Purposes?
Together. Purposes.
In the world and supporting each other in those blind spots. And I mean, all of you, I wish you this for yourself. So please go take a look at yourpurpose.com, learn more about Beth. And Beth, this will be continued. We will have a part two coming up.
I can't wait. Thank you.
So much fun.
Thank you, Ellie.
Care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope that left you feeling as inspired as I am. As a thank you for joining me today on Glambition Radio, I want to give you a free ebook I created called 100 Ways to Elevate Your Success. It's chock full of simple tips to help you reach your highest potential this year and make more money too. Just go to 100successtips.com and you can download it instantly. That's 100successtips.com. Take care and God bless.